Create an Unstoppable Life, episode 199. Create an Unstoppable Life is all about mindset for the high achiever to help you build a life of fulfillment and freedom. I'm your host, Dina George, MD, a mindset and marketing coach and a family medicine physician. It's an honor to spend time with you today. Oh, dear friends, welcome back. It's been a couple months. You're different, I'm different, we're different, but we have the same goal. We are emerging stronger, we are creating an unstoppable life. We're doing things we've never done before for the sheer purpose of more freedom and fulfillment. It is March, the middle of March. Emerge Stronger 2024 is behind us, and it was incredible. I will tell you, I had doubt, I had worry, I had fear, I had wonder and joy, and the event was meaningful, it was tender, it was incredible, it was transformative, and I'm so thankful for all the many graces, the many people that made it an extraordinary event. So today is my talk from Emerge Stronger. I thought that would be fun. It is titled Tender Points and Tenderness. Isn't that funny? Tenderness. It's everything I tried not to be. I have lived a life of trying not to be tender, of hiding it. And in the end, it's who I most long to be. It's who I most want to be. It's what I most want to share with the world. And there have been a lot of tender points that block it or that told me it's wrong. Don't do it. Don't look weak. The talk began with showing a photo of me, the photo that you see on the podcast. So the one where the hair is done and the makeup is done and the dress is nice and my grandma's pearls are on. It's in a very amazing country club. And my dear friend Amelia of Mint Marketing took the photo. So everything about it is perfection. It's followed by a photo of a woman who looks like she is in a rage. She is out to hurt somebody. Her hair is crazy. Her expression is crazy. She has pent up emotion and you want to get out of her way. And the point is that the first photo is me and the next photo, even though it's not me, it represents times in my life when I felt that way. I felt angry. I felt full of rage. I wanted people to get out of my way, get out of my face, stop trying to block me. And the next photo is me as a very young mom with a boy who's probably 1.5, who looks so sweet and so tender, and he just wants to be loved. And that's me too, because I just wanted to love him. I don't think Roland walked much during his early life because I was generally holding him or carrying him or holding him on my back. I just wanted to mother him and nurture him and hold him. And it's followed by a photo of a lion who looks very hungry and very angry and very fierce. And that's part of me too. That's who I have been too, is that preemptive, get out of my way because I am hungry and I will rip you up. And it's followed by a photo of me in uniform, back when I was a major in the Army, and I think I was getting ready for a conference. That's part of me. There's a photo of dancing. We did a lot of that at Emerge Stronger, and boy, that was so fun. And that's part of me. And then it's followed by a photo of a woman who is in the corner with her head down, and she looks like she's steeped in shame. And that's been me too. In fact, that's been a lot of my life. Hiding, steeped in regret and guilt and shame of all the things I should have been, I should have done, I wasn't, and why did I do things that were hurtful to me or hurtful to others. So one life and all of these different aspects of one life, and I've had 52 years of living, lots of emotion expressed, lots of misunderstandings, lots of running away and believing nobody gets me and nobody cares. I've been moody and needy and emotionally unstable, and I've been a bully. And God bless Frances Berry. And if I ever come in contact with her again, I've got a lot of apologizing to do. Because in elementary school, I was a bully. and I was mean and she didn't deserve it. Nobody deserves it. She didn't deserve it. I've either been or I've been called anxious and insecure and nervous. And on the flip side, I have been and I have been called confident, brilliant, wise, capable of doing anything I want. I think once I even heard that somebody say that I'm perfect. Thank goodness there was nothing in my mouth because I would have spit it all over them as a sign of how imperfect I am and how crazy that sounds. But it's really funny to be one person and to have so many different facets and to experience the disconnect between the inside and the outside. Boy, I grew up in an environment with very strict expectations of how I would behave. I didn't. The rebellion occurred, and oh, there was a lot of stress and strife because of it. So as a smart woman who's good at pattern recognition, I created a life of covering up anything tender, showing people what I think they wanted to see, hiding any tenderness, and creating my own version of safety and belief that no one can hurt me. On the outside, it looked like this castle up on the hill that you couldn't get to, but you could admire. And on the inside, it felt like a prison. So tender points, the part of the title of this talk, it's associated with fibromyalgia. That's what we think about in medicine. Tender points is looking at applying pressure at various places and seeing what the response is. But really the point of this talk is to talk about the pressure on any emotional place that doesn't feel good and the emotions that come out because of it. And the emotions come out because they're compensating for something. They're compensating for a wound or damage. And we all have tender points. We all have places with guarded memories that carry very strong emotions of guilt, shame, regret, betrayal, confusion, not enoughness. I thought it was just me. You know, I'd go along during the day, I would psych myself up, I'd have what I thought was good energy, and then suddenly there'd be a random comment or a gesture, or I'd be left out of something or not acknowledged. And it was like the day was ruined. I felt like a skunk just came by and sprayed all over me, and I had to just leave because those feelings are strong. And it was too overwhelming to stay in a situation. My default setting is to believe it's all my fault, to take all the responsibility, to apologize for what a failure I am, and to try to get away as fast as possible. And it turns out that doing that actually creates more tender places. It creates more deep abscess, more deep wounds that need to be protected. So kind of like a porcupine, I would protect them, or a snake who was ready to strike, or that lion that had a snarl. That's how I would protect the tender points, and I would pretend that I'm not tender. You can't hurt me. So I lived a life with the goal of simply avoiding pain, and it turns out that's painful. And I created these rules. So here are the rules to avoid pain. Not live a life that is unstoppable by any means. Just avoid pain. Don't become emotionally involved because it could end poorly. Ask Craig. Avoid any possibility for rejection. Don't get attached because it's risky. Don't ask for anything. Don't say that I don't know because people will think I'm weak or think that I'm needy. How do you like those rules? And then always know the answer. Always do A-plus work. Always be prepared for everything. And beat yourself up when you're not because you should have done better. Oh, the rules. And it all works until it doesn't. So the reason for saying ask Craig is because he asked me out on a date and then I had some excuse. And a few months later, he asked me out again. And it was a couple weeks before we graduated from college. He was going in the army. I was going to Sweden. So that was really a safe time because we had a couple weeks and then we had to leave. We were committed to a path and I didn't have to get emotionally involved. I didn't have to wait to be rejected. I didn't have to reject myself either because I was leaving. Bye. So we went on a date and it turns out it was fun and I liked him, but we were leaving. We would talk a lot. This is back in the day of 10 cents per minute. Remember those days? But it was only at night. And he said, I love you. At the end of a call, like there was a pause. He said it. I freaked out. I didn't know what to do, so I hung up really fast and pretend I didn't hear. Avoid any possibility for rejection. Don't get attached because it's too risky. I was leaving. I think I was going to Russia first. I was leaving. Don't get attached. Don't ask for anything. And then somehow he just didn't go away. He didn't go away in my mind. He didn't go away in my heart. He didn't go away physically, even though he went to basic training. We kept in touch. It broke all the rules, and I am so thankful for it, so deeply thankful for it. So the rules, they work until they don't. Because what I really wanted was not to be in a prison cell that was safe, because it was completely unsafe. I wanted to grow, and I wanted real friends, and to get out of the rut of experiencing the same intense emotions over and over again, and coping with them over and over again, and allowing people to come by and spray like a skunk, and carrying that residue, and thinking this is normal and this is how life is. I didn't want that to be how life was. I wanted to be free. I wanted the outside to look like the inside, except the inside felt terrible. And freedom meant meaningful conversations and feeling connected and building trust and having relationships with loyalty, where the loyalty works both ways, not just one way. To get out of transactional living. And man, that is what we're working on for 2024. Having relationships that are not transactional. I also wanted to get out of living from coping with my life and coping with guilt and regret and shame. I also wanted to stop believing that that's what defined me. Ultimately, I wanted a life of tenderness, which looks like tears. Tears because there's a wide range of emotions, because this is the human experience. It's never all good or all bad. It's such a blend. There's so many emotions that come up just even in the daily experience. I wanted a life where I don't have to hide or dread or avoid. It's easier that way. I want a life of awareness when the big emotions come up to recognize it as opportunity. That now that place is open. It's accessible. It's a place that I can be loving and warm and nurturing. I can give that to myself. Without anyone around me needing to change, the skunks can still come by and spray, but it doesn't touch me. That's tenderness. That's tenderness towards myself. Tenderness also sees people for who they are right now and not wanting or needing them to be any different. It's encouraging people to take their mask off first, because I've taken my mask off already, so that we can settle into imperfection and be here right now. And I can share my heart and what's real and what's important, and they can share theirs. Tenderness is honest conversation without the answers and without worrying, is this the right thing to say? You've done that too. I know you have. Even if we don't know each other, am I saying the right thing? Am I doing the right thing? Is this being helpful? We all do it. But a life of tenderness, we don't have to worry about it. We just believe with a pure heart, with honest intentions, with working towards developing the relationship, that we're saying the right things, we're doing our best. Tenderness is pausing to gaze longer, to give a more heartfelt thank you, to hug a few seconds longer and to say I love you without wanting or needing anything in return. It's opening the door to hard conversations, including hard conversations with patients and their families on how we don't know what's ahead, and here's where we're at, and there are some decisions to make. It's looking at what's important, knowing that there are some things I can control, other things I can't control. And that's whether I'm working as a doctor or as a co-founder of a conference or sitting with Roland, being with Craig. There's lots I don't know. There's very little I can control, but I can be here and I can be open to share my heart. So dear friends, here's what I know without any doubt. A tender life is more meaningful, it's more purposeful, it's intentional, and it's not easy, because others don't understand, or maybe they don't want it for me because they're worried I'm going to get hurt. I'm going to be standing out naked in front of a crowd, metaphorically speaking, of course. And sometimes I don't understand and I default to closing off and flipping off the world in my mind. But the beauty about a tender life is that it's unscripted and it's continually focused on this moment. A friend asked recently, how do you deal with nurses that don't respect you as a strong female physician? And I thought, oh, what a fascinating question. I see big emotions as pain simply being transmitted, and I don't buy into it being about me. And notice that shift from what I told you my default settings are to take all the responsibility, believe it's my fault, and apologize. There's a big shift in leading to a tender life and allowing my heart to lead, to see it as their pain. And they don't know what to do with it. All they can do is react to anything that's going on because they're stressed. Our nursing staff takes care of very sick, complicated patients that don't have enough resources, meaning they don't physically or emotionally or relationally have enough resources. And our nurses generally don't have enough time to do what they think is important for the patient. So I see that, and I consistently invite their input, their concerns, their observations. I talk with every nurse before I go into the patient's room. I invite them to go with me, and then we summarize at the end. So continually keeping that conversation open. And I talk about the shared experience that we are creating, what I see as the highest priority. I ask what they see as the highest priority as well. And then just invite the question, what else? What else will help this patient or this experience? In the rare occasion that I feel like I'm being attacked, like if I'm in the patient's room and I feel like I'm being attacked, 99% of the time the nurse will address it. And it's fantastic. I don't have to say a thing. In the 1% of the time, I generally say, I'm going to step out and I'll come back later if things are settled in here. But it's so rare. And I can't even think of the last time when I felt like I was attacked by somebody who thought I wasn't acting appropriately. I work in an incredible facility with the staff that has a servant heart. So I don't think I've ever been attacked for being a female, but I imagine if I was, what would I say? And I would say, you know, I never noticed that you say this to so-and-so, who's a male colleague. I think that's how I would handle it. I just never noticed you say that to them. Why do you say it to me? To invite their feedback? Because my goal is really to be tender. Our staff is overburdened. They're underpaid. They're overworked. So I want to be tender. I want to be what is not common, to be a soft place, so that together we can have this bond and they feel that we both feel seen and we both feel heard and we're working on the same team and we can see the greater purpose of our work. We are working with people in the most vulnerable place of their life. And some of our patients will never leave the hospital. And some of them will leave this world soon. That is a tender, tender place. And my goal is to help us to get back to that big picture of what we're doing, how we are walking the journey. We're walking it together, and we're walking it with this individual, and we're walking it with their family. And most of our patients are unprepared for the journey that they are already on, and some of them are already deep into their journey. So that's how I think about tenderness. It means being open to the human experience without being derailed by it. You know, the metaphorical skunk spray. They can spray all they want. That's not mine. And in fact, I don't even smell it. And it's experiencing this human experience without layers of protection to guard against it, with remaining curious about it and with believing that it's just all going to work out. It always has. No matter what, it's going to work out. Even if I don't know what to say and I don't know what to do in the moment, it's going to work out. And I'll be honest, I do the sign of the cross because that's part of my faith, but also because I work in a Catholic hospital right now. And I just say, Lord, it's your words, not mine. Please, please bring some and please let them be helpful. So even when I have no idea of what to say or do in the moment, I just believe it's all going to work out. Whatever needs to happen will. whatever words they're going to come, because they're not mine, they're his. And that's tenderness. There's nothing to control, there's nothing to own, there's nothing to smother. It's the feeling of holding new life and wanting to be so gentle and so loving and so warm and protective. And having that feeling no matter who is around, no matter what I am doing, that's tenderness. It's a feeling of wonder and joy. It's a feeling of enough. Like the heart is so full and on the verge of busting. There's so much inside, so much goodness, so much greatness. Tenderness. So the question is, how do you do it? Or how do you do it more consistently? You know, when I was young, my brother was riding a big wheel. You remember those things? You pedal really fast. They've got a big wheel in the front and then a couple in the back. So he's riding as fast as he can down the driveway. I'm holding onto a rope and a skateboard because I know everything. Just ask me. I know everything. Big smile. And I'm wearing dolphin shorts, and I fell off on this gravel driveway and had the biggest road rash area on my leg. And my Nana, she was freaked out. She had no idea what to do. I'm freaked out. She's freaked out. We go into her bathroom and she sprays Lysol on it. I kid you not. This is the 1970s. Lysol, my friends, it stings really, really bad. I do not recommend it for road rash. Thankfully, it didn't scar, and I think I got in the shower and it was still blazing, but at some point the pain ended. So how do you believe again after you've experienced a lot of emotional road rash? Here's what I've learned about the journey. Number one, we are all judgmental. We are so stinking judgmental about ourselves. We are painfully judgmental. We are never enough in our minds. There is always more. And lots of encouragement to just notice it. That's it. Just notice it. Become curious about it. About the narrative that goes on and on and on. Whose narrative is it? It doesn't need to be yours. All right, the second part of the journey that I have learned, we are all scared. We're scared of standing out. We're scared of stepping up. We're scared of looking bad. We're scared of not being good enough, of not having enough, of being alone, not being worthy, not being loved. We're scared. And number three, we have built a life of having all the answers in advance and appearing perfect and not telling people when we're not, unless sometimes we do, just because we want to downplay all the praise that we might be getting. Number four, we hide what's uncomfortable. We tell people, look here, just look over here, things where things are good and perfect. And we don't let them, we physically move them out of the space of the areas that are uncomfortable. Oh, how's your day? Oh, I meant to ask you about such and such. All right, number five, we navigate our lives that's based on comments, compliments, and feedback. What people say, what they value, really puts a lot of wind in our sails in a direction that may not be true to who we are. Because we want to be seen as worthy. We want to be seen as good enough. And so we navigate our lives into those areas of higher praise, of higher compliments. The journey to tenderness, the journey of seeing yourself and the world with compassionate eyes. Ooh, we got some healing to do. I didn't really realize in 2023 the call to be still. In fact, I hated it. Telling all my secrets now. I hated it. I didn't want to do it. I rebelled against it. I sort of did it. And then I go back to the old ways. And now I see what it was about. I got better. It's because there's healing that's needed. All of these tender points are like emotional abscess that are just waiting to erupt or to cause bigger problems. They need healing. And I needed a new framework for doing that, for acknowledging the tender points, for realizing that I have a tender heart. I needed a framework for allowing that to happen. The emotions to come up, the seeing the areas that need nurturing and love, the shifting the narrative of that judgment, of trying to hide from fear and trying to be perfect and have all the answers and hiding from what's uncomfortable and navigating based on praise. I needed to get rid of that. I needed to start seeing that as what holds me back. And I think that there are really five things that we need for the healing process and to shift into a life that is tender and seeing that as strength. The first ingredient is compassion. We are one person. We have high or impossible expectations. We thrive on being the best and the brightest, and we don't leave any margin for error. Like I tell myself, chances are you do too, people will die if I make a mistake. And it's just not true. It isn't. There are lots of mistakes that occur every day, even in hospitals, and thankfully people don't die. Having compassion for the mistakes that have occurred, the regrets, the responsibility I've accepted that was never mine, the apologies that were given that were unnecessary, that default setting. Compassion to say, I'm human too, you're human too, even as a doctor. To give ourselves grace, to make peace, that we can never go back, we can never change the past. But everything from the past can be transformed into something greater. I heard someone say, pain is either transmitted or transformed. I want to be in the category of transformed into something great, rather than transmitting to those unsuspecting bystanders around. All right, so that's number one. Number two, community. Because fear doesn't go away. And courage isn't the absence of fear. I thought I had to be quiet so no one would know I didn't have it all together. And then once I figured it out, how I would have it all together, then I could let people in. Except I've never had it all together. I still don't. So I've had to learn to invite people into the experience now and to accept invitations to be in others' experience, even without us having it all together. Because community is what helps us see that we are enough. You know, the women that arrived at the conference, that participated in the conference, they believed that they were enough, that they had enough. And we heard from other women, I want to be there, I can't be there. Other things were getting in the way. So it was really a celebration for those who were there, for those who were open to community, to make peace with their enoughness, even imperfectly. I am so imperfect. Community helps us like check into the things that we say, because some of the things we say are really BS. They're BS, they're well-intentioned, we either are hiding, we're trying to make something better than it is, we're taking responsibility for what's not ours, we're feeling something but we don't want to admit it. Community just helps us check into that. So we don't get away with, I'm fine, it's all good. Community doesn't buy into that. And community notices when there's a lack of alignment, when we're compromising our values, when we're falling into old habits. Kind of like the friends in high school or college, the ones who were like, no, no, he was never good for you. No, no, that relationship, do you remember? That's what community does. No, no, you remember these are your goals. This is what you're working towards. I know you can't see it right now, but it is possible. That's community. Number three is honesty. First with ourselves. It means expanding the vocabulary from fine and okay to setting boundaries and saying no and limiting access or removing access and being alone rather than being around others who are just okay. And acknowledging you have emotions. I have emotions. I don't need to label myself as moody. I don't need to judge myself and I don't need to judge anyone else. I can be honest. This sucks. I don't like this because I feel this. I don't have to pretend anymore. You don't either. Even if I want something to be different, I don't have to pretend anymore. You know, I don't enjoy procedures. I just don't. And it's not weakness. I don't have to pretend. When the hospitals say, hey, do you want to do this? No, no, I'm good. This is my zone of genius. This is what I am so good at that other people cannot do. I want to be here. And finally honesty to say that there is no bandwidth rather than, oh, I'm busy, I'll get to it. No, we don't need to do that anymore. Those are just lies or hiding. We don't need to do that. We can just be honest. You know, I got an email recently from somebody I haven't heard to in a while, and I know that they are a very good person, and I think that their life has been complicated, but they basically just dropped off. And so they sent an email to catch up, and I was like, oh, that's really interesting. I didn't know why they dropped off. I had some ideas. And so I asked. I just responded and asked, hey, what happened? It seemed like things were going well, and then there was just a complete drop-off. I don't understand. And if we're going to have a real relationship, I'd like to. That's honesty, being honest with myself and asking somebody to do the same, because if they don't have the bandwidth, then I know. There's no pretending, there's no hiding, there's no ghosting. It is completely unnecessary. Ingredient number four, faith. Spirituality, connection to something greater, something you cannot see. For me, it's belief in God through my Catholic faith and developing the identity of it. What I find in faith, it's the restoration of hope and a pathway for forgiveness and a simple framework for living and being in this world where things are not fair and things are not equitable. You've seen that, right? Like you see that every day. Life is not fair. Life is not equitable. We can work to make things better, but in the end, our sphere of influence is low. It's small. And there are many places that we are not. But faith restores my hope, my trust, my belief, my belief in myself, my belief in what things can look like, and my ability to contribute. So faith has been so instrumental for me to understand enoughness and how I was living a life of avoiding pain and working really hard to hide that I didn't feel good enough. It helped me to see that I'm already enough. And I even started to believe that I've always been enough. And every time there's disbelief, each metaphorical skunk spray, I come back to this place. It's like a sick child. And perhaps you've been with a sick child that has a fever and they keep waking up and they don't know where they're at and they don't know why they feel so bad and they're scared and they feel alone. But you're there and you just say, it's okay, I'm here, you're safe. It's okay, I'm here, you're safe. You just keep saying that. That's what God says to me. It's okay, I'm here, you're safe. And it also sounds like, it's okay, you're not lost. You're not alone, I'm here. And faith is being able to open up those deep wounds and start healing. And faith is also a way for me to disarm because I have trust. It's okay, he's here, I'm not alone, I'm not lost. I don't need to know the answer. I have enough, I am enough. All right, here's component five, reconciliation. It's a good Catholic term, but here I'm using it as a way of reconciling all the parts of you, coming back into your body, taming your mind, nurturing your soul, embracing the emotions of the human experience, creating one whole person, one life, no matter what is happening around us. Nothing needs to be neglected. We don't have to hold our emotions really tight, escape, and then break down. We don't have to do that ever, ever again. So reconciling how you speak to yourself and making sure that you only speak to yourself the way you would speak to somebody else, somebody you care about, being honest with that. Reconciliation means acceptance for being in this place at this time and compassion because chances are you wanted to be somewhere else or you wanted to be farther ahead. But as we go back, remember you're one human. You've had a journey that has had metaphorical skunk sprays. You're here right now. Reconciliation also for getting out of the busy cycle with a to-do list and instead having unstructured time. Weird, right? You don't have to earn it. You can have unstructured time, play time, to notice, to listen, to follow, to just see. Where does your heart want to be? What are you curious about? So those are the five ingredients for your journey to more tenderness. Those are the five ingredients that have helped me on my journey to tenderness. Compassion, community, honesty, faith, and reconciliation. Dear friends, a life of tenderness is what restores hope, connection, belief, and creates pure love. Because none of it is transactional. It is all relational. A life of tenderness truly is a life of strength. Whatever you needed to prove, whatever I needed to prove, it's done. Life can now be about savoring each moment and seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary. A life of tenderness is a soft landing every time. There's no judgment, no fear, no preparation needed, no hiding, and no reacting to the external world. Because tenderness is the way. It's pure, it's good, it's true. If you want to love better, love tenderly. If you want deeper relationships, love tenderly. If you want a different experience with your patients, show up tenderly. If you want deeper collaborative relationships with your work team, show up tenderly. I will tell you, predominantly the comments or compliments that I receive from patients or their families is how they feel cared about. In fact, family members generally use the word tender. I love how tender you are with my mom or dad. It is possible for everyone. I did not start this way. This is evolution. This is having a goal and working towards this. This is allowing pain to be released. This is opening up to healing. This is developing great compassion for myself, greater honesty with myself, and shifting the narrative of how I speak to myself. And it is possible for you no matter what your starting place is. I promise you that. Embracing tenderness has radically changed my life. It's free, it's simple, it's not of this world. Most people aren't doing it. And thank God we aren't most people. So there it is. It's a little bit different form because it's not live at Emerge Stronger. That's me though. I am so thankful for you, for this journey. We've reached episode 199. There will be a episode 200 coming out soon. And then, who knows? God will tell me when it's time. I am sending you so much love, tender love, pure love for your journey. And I'll see you next time. Ciao.